Well, they really don't change. I mean, we go through some of the seasons, like we're still in hurricane season, you know, with some active wildfires still occurring out west. And, you know, as we go forward, you know, we kind of look at where we've been, what we've been focused on, and it doesn't really change what we're doing. But for next year, I think you're going to see a lot more emphasis as we go forward with National Level Exercise 11, talking about earthquakes, of really trying to move this concept of a team approach that engages the public but also the private sector as part of the response, and a large-scale exercise giving us a chance to really build that relationship with the private sector, particularly retailers and others that are so critical in helping the community recover.
Now, a few weeks ago, I heard you speaking at the Red Cross Social Media Summit about that very issue. It seems like social media is really going to be a big part of that.
It is, and I guess, you know, people are, you know, trying to really understand how to use social media and our line of work in disasters. And I'm going, well, instead of us trying to figure out what we're going to do, let's look at what the public's actually doing and then recognize that, you know, they're using it. And we have to learn how to communicate more effectively. And this is an opportunity, I think, the public can teach us on how they're using information, what they're looking at, how they're sharing information when disasters occur. And to be able to utilize that to help them as well as to learn from them what's going on in areas, I think, is one of the challenges we face. But it's one that I think we have to do. It's what the public's doing. So if we're going to really, you know, be part of a team and look at how we support public in disasters, we need to communicate the way they're communicating.
Taking a bit of a shift from the new school to the old school, legislation has been going through Congress, sponsored by Congressman Henry Cuellar, and it's supposed to improve the efficiency and the accountability in FEMA. Are you familiar with that bill, and what's your take on it?
Yeah, it's again, one of these challenges is, you know, other than how much money you're spending, how do you really measure a level of increased preparedness, and what are the, you know, tracking indicators that you can measure outside of an actual disaster response? And so this is one of the things that, as we continue to work with this, we've been working back with Congress, but also some of the direction they gave us to put together a task force to look at preparedness and how do you actually demonstrate that, you know, we've gone out and we've done training, or we've gone out and we've done exercises, or we've added new equipment. How is that really measurable as far as an increased level of preparedness? And unfortunately, you know, oftentimes the only indicator that stands up is an actual response and how well you did. But how do we really measure that outside of a disaster to show that the investment in time and funds have actually prepared our communities better for the disasters they face, including the threat of terrorism?
How do you measure that? Is that what you're working on?
Well, I think this is the challenge is, you know, what are the indicators that show that communities are better prepared and respond better? We know one of the things that is a critical part of this is the exercises that communities do. So we've been revamping our exercise program and exercise program guidance to really start to look at how do we take exercises and use that as a tool to demonstrate our capabilities, but also include the community. You know, we do a lot of disaster exercises with responders themselves, but we don't necessarily involve the community in those exercises. And I think this is one of the things we want to look at more and more of, how do we do the things that recognize that communities aren't made up of, you know, just responders. You've got infants and children. You have people with disabilities. You have language barriers for some. You have financial barriers for others. And to really build that into our exercises and invite and include participation of the community in these exercises to demonstrate not only what we are doing, but also to help educate the public on their roles during disasters.
I'm sensing more of a theme coming from you this morning, and that is the using the community and not really crowdsourcing, but opening up those lines of communication. Not so much FEMA telling the community how to respond, but getting feedback from the community on how they would respond and then playing off of that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of taking an approach that says, look, first of all, the public's not the liability. They're a resource when a disaster strikes. And the second thing is we got to quit planning for easy. An example of this is, you know, there's a lot of things we can do that are easy to do. When people need food, you know, a state makes that request, the governor, you know, has a request in, and we send them food. It's real easy for us just to ship MREs in to help feed the community. The problem is MREs may be appropriate for parts of the community, but they're not appropriate for infants and children. So we have to kind of step back and go, A, are we actually planning for the whole community, not just what's easy to do? And two, are we looking at the public as a liability or actually as a resource that we need to engage more and look at developing that partnership with versus taking almost like the parental approach of we know best and we're going to do what we think we need to do and not really talk to the community and go, is this the right thing to do? Is this meeting the needs? Is this addressing the whole community or just what we've done in the past and try to build from that?
Because Congress hasn't passed the spending bills for 2011 and now there's this continuing resolution, at least for now, how does that make your challenge greater or does it?
I think from the standpoint of day-to-day and response, we're in good shape. Where it does limit our abilities is in our grant programs, because until we have an authorization for those grant programs, we cannot go forward with those funds. So the continuing resolution, you know, allows FEMA to continue to be able to respond to disasters and do our core day-to-day missions. But until we actually have a budget and we have an allocation for grant programs, we're not able to go out with the various grant programs we administer on behalf of the Department of Homeland Security.
So there will be a ripple effect if things don't improve.
Well, again, we've been through this before, and, you know, when Congress is able to provide us that you know, the allocations in a budget format, then we will, you know, be able to do the actual grant programs. But there's a lot of things we can do leading up to that. So we're taking the steps we can to be ready to go as soon as Congress does have a budget authorization there for these grant programs to be able to go forward.
And finally, I want to talk with you about Fire Prevention Week. You know, we think of FEMA, we think of hurricanes, earthquakes, all sorts of large-scale major disasters. A fire can be a major disaster, too, even if it's just confined to one family or one community. What's FEMA's role there?
Well, as part of FEMA, we house the United States Fire Administration, which is focused on fire safety and training and educating the leadership in the fire service, but also looking at what are the causes of fires and the best ways to minimize that. And one of the ways we know that we can significantly reduce the loss of lives, about 3,000 people a year will lose their lives in their homes due to fire, are smoke alarms. And so this year, part of National Fire, or part of the Fire Prevention Week, is really emphasizing the need to install and inspect your smoke detectors because they protect lives. And so beep, beep, beep is a sound we can all live with. Sometimes, you know, when you're cooking or in the shower and it goes off, it's annoying. Don't take your battery out. A lot of the newer alarms have a hush button, which will temporarily reset it. But, you know, the tendency to forget about it until you need it is one of the things about smoke alarms is they're that early warning system. And so, again, encouraging people to install them if they don't have them. If they do have them, particularly those that are battery operated, change those batteries once a year, inspect them. And if they're 8 to 10 years old, probably time to replace them because smoke detectors do wear out and do need to be replaced. And the newer ones, dual detectors have the ability to use the hush button to, you know, if you got a temporary thing such as you're cooking, but they can save lives.
And you know what you're talking about. You were a firefighter.
Yeah, again, it's always, you know, it's a tragedy when people lose their homes. That's why another thing the U.S. Fire Administration is strongly encouraging in new home construction and retrofits is residential sprinklers. But we do know that, you know, if you do have a smoke alarm and if you do have a residential sprinkler system, it reduces the loss of life in home fires by 87%. But smoke alarms, again, by themselves will oftentimes give you that warning so you can get out of your home safely. And that is the primary goal here is to reduce the loss of life and the injuries that occur in home fires. And again, this is whether you're in your apartment, whether you rent, whether you own. You know, over 13,000 people are injured in residential fires. Almost 3,000 annually lose their lives in residential fires. Smoke alarms can cut that number way down.
We're talking with Craig Fugate. He's the administrator of FEMA. And, you know, I've been covering the federal government for coming up on 7 years now. And I think this is the first time I've ever talked with anyone from FEMA about something as community-oriented or as personal as smoke detectors. We always think of FEMA as being this large national umbrella organization that's going to come out when the president says it's time to come out. You really do seem to be bringing this down to the community level.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that occur out there every day that are tragic. They don't necessarily warrant a presidential disaster declaration, but we shouldn't define people's losses and the risk people have merely by is it big enough that the president would declare a disaster. And so a lot of these smaller events and even the day-to-day emergencies of a home fire can still be things that can be prevented that, you know, if we work together, you know, we look at FEMA, we're not the team, we're part of a team. Many of these events never reach the threshold where FEMA would actually be coordinating response on behalf of the president to a disaster. But it's still a disaster to the families and the communities that are impacted. So we think that our threshold for disaster shouldn't just be based upon, you know, what we would work in a declared disaster, but recognize that emergencies happen every day, small floods, severe weather, fires, chemical emergencies. And so we try to work as part of the team and really focus on being prepared for all emergencies, not just the big ones, because day to day in our lives and our communities, you're more likely to be involved in a local emergency or have a fire in your home than maybe getting hit by a big hurricane. But it doesn't mean your losses would be any less severe.
Those are all the questions I have. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, we just encourage people to, again, you know, as part of Fire Prevention Week, you know, check your smoke alarms if you don't have them, install them. And again, you know, the greatest thing people can do to get ready for disaster is to start now and think about what they would do if an emergency happened. If they need a place to help them get started, is go to ready.gov and start looking at the information on how you can better prepare yourself and your family against the hazards we face.